Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Pinching. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Upstairs, Downstairs 2010, Episode 2, The Ladybird. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It really is okay. I don't know much you, but I've been listening to our podcast a lot. So, like,
I have.
Just different podcast series keep coming up. And so those phrases get stuck in your head. And it's a thing.
Yeah, no, that's. I think that's what happened, especially, like, I think it was, like, during Agent Carter at some point. I almost said Game of Thrones or something. I was just like, yeah.
Wait, why don't we watch? But yes, Upstairs, Downstairs, 2010. I've only been putting Upstairs, Downstairs in our listing. I hope people get over it. Have you noticed that these episode titles for this season are all bird-related?
I noticed that when I was taking them down, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
No, it makes a lot of sense, Mom, because it's the bird. There was a baby bird, the fledgling. And also, what's her name? Percy was a fledgling.
Exactly.
And this is the ladybird.
I don't know that I consider Percy to be a ladybird in this, but there's a song, a lullaby about a ladybird that gets mentioned.
Whenever I think of ladybird, I think of Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, the ladybird.
What ladybird? What Juliet? But
I still think Jim Carson doing that is the Jim Carter doing that is
hilarious.
The best thing. Oh my lord,
Jim Carson! Jim like Carter. I played Carson, yes. But
doing that in Shakespeare, and then,
I love Shakespeare, love. And then the last one is like whatever the
cuckoo.
Called. The cuckoo.
Yeah,
that's more accurate to Percy.
Indeed. So let's get. I need to go through the caveats because we're up across the British today, so we're doing caveats. And those include that there will be cursing, pretty sure, yeah.
No.
There will be spoilers. This is, again, a show. It's a little harder to find. We're watching it on BritBox, but it is definitely worth a watch if you're into costume dramas, like Downton Abbey or The Crown or whatever.
If you're not into that, if you like history.
Yeah, it is historically set. So there is a good bit of historical background going on here too.
But if you're looking for something similar to like literally anything else.
it's a show. It's on television. It's got British people in it.
If you're into something more like Umbrella Academy or
Agent Carter.
Agent Carter, more action based. This is not for you.
Yeah, no, this is not that. So and finally, that we are having things to drink. We're actually having the same thing to drink.
Yeah.
What are we having then?
We're having Pink La Marca.
Pink La Marca Prosecco is lovely and
good.
Tasty.
It's
and
so good.
Fun and happy.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure that has a lot to do with this episode.
It doesn't, but we wanted to drink it.
We did. So there
it's
we
been
are.
A long week.
I do.
For some of us.
It has. Now, I know you usually get us started, and that's fine. I just want to say right off the bat, that the theme music for this show I've now named the Nazi Waltz.
Oh, Mom. They're going to find out about that real soon.
It is this stupidly happy waltz.
Like, you get the funniest part about it. Sorry to interrupt.
Mm.
The funniest part about it is that you have the recap of what's been going on beforehand. It's all these dramatic beats. And even, we'll talk about it in particular next episode. Next episode, you have this recap that's really dark, and then you've got this very happy waltz happening. I'm like, no, that does not fit the vibe.
No.
Like, for example, we were talking about it, and the Downton Abbey theme is nice and dramatic.
Yeah, you know it's building to something. This just makes you feel like, oh, fluffy happy. No.
No, that's not this show.
It's not this show.
At all.
No.
Anyway, all right, so let's get into episode 2, Lady Bird. The servants are scrambling for breakfast. I wrote that down.
Wow, we are really losing it, aren't we?
I am. The new maid shows up. Her name's Rachel, but she goes to the wrong entrance, so Hallam has to tell her to go to the servant's entrance.
Yeah, but it's breakfast with the monkey again. It's like, I just am over this whole concept of the monkey.
Well, you're not going to have to deal with it for much longer.
Yay.
Agnes gives Percy a new brooch.
It is a lovely diamond star. It looks very expensive.
It's what she said she was going to give her.
Yes.
In the
and
first
she
episode.
Ordered it from Paris.
Ivy has to Ivy the maid has to share a room and bed.
I'm gonna call her Mira. I cannot remember Ivy. I sometimes get it. Most of the time, I just call her Mira.
I just gotta.
But she's unhappy and she's crying, of course.
Well, she's not crying. She's just upset. She's just upset that she has to share a room and a bed with Rachel. And she's also sharing her work, so you should be grateful. Percy goes to debutante practice with Agnes and Maud. Agnes stands in for the king for the practice, but she gets sick and has to return home.
Vomit. And then Mira doesn't know how to clean up her vomit because it's beneath her. And it's kind of like, you know.
Rachel is still getting the hang of things. She sailed from Hamburg, Germany, overnight and hasn't rested. Pritchard has noticed this and wants her to eat something and to chill a little bit. But she's like, no, I got it.
They do talk about how there's tongue or something available for a sandwich, and that comes up later.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't catch that. Maud tells Hallam that she will attend the Londonderry Ball, which is the ball that they were like training for, I guess.
It's a big deal because it's got royal people there.
Yeah. And so Maud tells Hallam that she's going to attend that ball that night in Agnes's stead because Agnes is sick and is excited to do so. She's really just trying to take the opportunity away from Agnes.
Oh, right. And she wants to wear this the ginormous tiara. Lovely tiara
that she gave to Agnes last episode. Right. I've got to say, and I will mention this, like, especially in season two, if there's one thing that this show is, it is inconsistent.
Yes.
Because it would be one thing if Agnes had specifically slighted Maud in some way in the early in the episode, and that's why Maud wanted to kind of strike back by being her vain self and like using the TR that she even gave to Agnes to go in her stead to this ball. But she, Agnes didn't do anything to her. She got sick.
Yeah.
Once. And then that shouldn't be that bad, but you know, whatever.
And yet here we are.
Agnes goes to her room and finds the tiara she was given by Maud is gone. Maud is wearing it for the ball. Agnes still wants to go to the ball, but Maud has the tiara and will be going instead, whether she likes it or not, because she can't go without a tiara.
Right. Now I do want to, I'm gonna jump in here because there is an undercurrent of a downstairs plot that is it's not easy to pick up on if you're not paying attention. And the upstairs plot is going to go on for a little bit. The sandwich was offered to Rachel. Rachel doesn't eat it and she puts it in the trash. And the chauffeur, Spargo, says, oh, she didn't eat it because, as he puts it, she's a Yid. They don't eat the same food as us.
Yeah.
And Thackeray, who is the cook, is upset that her food has gone to waste. And so there's a little bit of different kinds of prejudice against Rachel early on.
Because he notices, I guess, that she's Jewish. Mm-hmm. And so she probably speaks Yiddish. I don't think she speaks Yiddish once in this episode because not all Jewish people speak Yiddish.
We will learn a lot more about her as the episode goes.
The way we would put it now, and maybe probably the way they put it then, is that she eats mostly just kosher foods, and that's fine, but they didn't know that. So
right, and there's a lot of miscommunication and stuff.
So much.
Anyway,
because Rachel wants to keep it under wraps.
Right. So I want to get back to, though, Maud shows up back at the house with the tiara on. Oh, you were too unwell to get your hair done. You can't possibly go to this party.
Because I have the only tiara.
Yeah. It's like, oh, and now I have to go. Sorry.
It's already done now.
And Percy had gone with Maud to get hair done, and she just thinks it's hilarious for some reason. I want to slap the shit out of
Percy.
I'm sorry.
I hate her.
Yes.
Maud wears an ugly outfit and goes with Hallam and Percy to the ball smelling like mothballs.
Right. And so this is another small thing that comes up. Maud's fur smells like mothballs, and it's all matted and stuff, and the downstairs people are trying to figure out what to do with it. And strangely, Rachel knows how to make it look fluffier, if not get rid of the smell in the short amount of time that they have. And they're all kind of like,
how do you know that?
And she's like, oh, I know things.
I kind of do know things.
I just know things.
So there's more to Rachel than meets the eye.
I will say this. Not only is Maud's outfit ugly, Percy has this peach feather thing and looks like a stripper. It's like a boa. It's just hilarious.
Anyway. Ivy and Rachel are going to bed that night, and they're getting to know each other. Ivy just has no tact. She's really just like, "Oh, you said you were a widow. That means your husband's dead." It's like, "Yes, that's what being a fucking widow means. Your partner's dead." And Rachel and Ivy reveals that she's an orphan, and isn't that sad? I still don't like you. I wonder why you're an orphan. That's an awful thing to say.
But
sorry.
She also, and it may be later, she talks about wanting to have a mother. She'd always wanted to have a mother.
Mm. Hallam returns home and talks to Agnes about the ball. Sorry. Going smoothly. I'm sorry. I'm reading my notes and there was a thing. Agnes tells him that she might be pregnant, but she's worried that she might miscarry like she did in Washington, D.C. There's a little bit of backstory here. In Washington, D.C., she was pregnant, and then she wasn't. Mm-hmm. And she was traumatized by that, as anyone would be. And she's concerned. She's only felt that this way when that happened, or when she was pregnant. And so she's concerned it's going to happen again because she just doesn't think she can bear the thought of miscarrying again, which is fair. She's very concerned about the baby's health and safety, and her health and safety. And Hallam is really concerned about her health. And so he's like, "We're going to get the doctor. He's going to come in here.
It's
going
to,
yeah, it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Don't stress."
Percy sneaks into the garage to smoke. And the chauffeur Spargo, Spargo, of course, sleeps in the garage, so he sees the light come on. He comes out, and she is very.
She didn't have to turn the car on to open the door, I don't think.
She turns the lights on. She's like, talking about, my cigarettes, I left them in the car. Sorry, you know, that's the way it goes. But she stands there and smokes rather than, like, go back outside or whatever the fuck you do when you smoke. Not that I would know. I don't smoke.
I don't either. But she clearly is
coming,
like,
on to him big time.
Exactly. And she also mentioned that Oswald Mosley, who we know about from Peaky Blinders.
Yeah,
what was
full
that?
Circle, people. It is full circle.
If we hadn't watched Peaky Blinders, we wouldn't have been prepared.
No, but now
required watching.
Yes.
Anyway, he was at the ball. Spargo is unfortunately a fan, and Percy is intrigued.
Yeah, for those of you who have not watched Peaky Blinders, that
don't know who
Oswald
is.
It's like season 5 of Peaky Blinders. There's a whole series. It's 4 and 5.
Or, no, it's yeah. 5. It's 5.
Okay,
5 and 6.
There we go. So there is a whole series about Sir Oswald, who is being played by
Finnegan Oderr. Sam Kaplan. Fucking love Sam Kaplan, by the way.
But
he has such a range.
He does. And he has
is despicable.
Horrible in Peaky Blinders.
But I love him in everything else.
So anyway,
Rachel's in the study,
yes.
And she is finding a picture in a book for Maud, and she finds a picture in a book of a young boy and a baby girl, Hallam, and his sister Pamela. We didn't know he had a sister until now.
Kind of like,
right? And she's like, "Oh no, that's not the one. I wanted the one of me riding an elephant." Rachel keeps coughing, and Mr. Amanjit helps her when it's too much. She clearly has asthma. She uses steam to clear up her asthma. Basically, I think it's Rose who's talking to her. Rose is like, "What? How are you, like, have this much asthma? You shouldn't be in service if you have this much asthma. We do the dirty work, literally."
Yeah.
And she's like, "I don't really have a choice. She used to be a university lecturer and wealthy in Frankfurt, but was laid off because she was Jewish and has to work now."
Right. And she figured that this would be the kind of work that she'd be able to do, but she didn't really understand how much, like, manual labor, I guess, was involved, or dust-related, dirt-related stuff was involved in it.
She can do it. It's just her asthma is holding her back, which
is
of no fault to her.
Right.
But that's just how it is. Agnes gets a visit from the doctor. And
says she's due in early December.
Yes.
Hallam is so sweet about it. We love
it. I love Hallam. Everyone's very happy. Maud says, "Congratulations! I just thought something was wrong with you."
Right. And, but then they decide to have champagne, and it's Maude's idea that you need to give champagne to the staff.
Yeah.
And so they have champagne, and this is hilarious because Pritchard, you know, they're pouring champagne. They're like, oh, this is so nice. We need to include, Rachel wants to include Mr. Amanjeet. And while this is going on, Pritchard's like, it's just Moet.
But Mr. Amanjeet takes his meal in his room. It kind of like when we talked about Downton Abbey, you were talking about the like governess. Division the division between the governess and the rest of the household,
or the nanny, I guess.
Yes, yeah. And so that's kind of a similar situation with Mr. Amanjeet being Maud's private secretary, personal secretary, and the rest of the servants. But Rachel, he was so kind to Rachel that she wants to include him.
Right.
But so, that will come into play later. The king has abolished presentations and is now a garden party.
This is David, by the
this
way.
This is David who ruins everything. Yes. Percy.
Much like Percy, who ruins everything.
Percy is interested in politics now. Mm-hmm. And Maude tells her, Maude gives her good advice. She tells her to be aware of all of the political opinions so that she's more well-rounded and less like only focused on one thing. It's kind of like reading multiple newspapers or things from multiple news sources nowadays.
I love the way Maude phrases this, like, what, because I think both Agnes and Helen were like, well, she didn't really know everything. and Maude's viewpoint is like, either she learns all this stuff or she will marry a stupid farmer
or be the stupid one in the relationship.
Right.
Hallam meets with Anthony Eden, and they discuss Mussolini and how the former East African emperor is coming to England and Hallam must greet him, but Hallam is dreading it.
Right, in part because the East African emperor has been deposed and wants help, but England really can't offer it at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So
they have a lot of other things they're worrying about right now, like Mussolini.
Yeah, but meanwhile, we've got Percy trying to find out.
Well, first of all, early in the morning, Hallam can't sleep, and he tells Spargo about it, about the situation where he's going to have to drive him. And so Spargo does drive him, and then Percy goes looking for Spargo, but she finds an ad for Molesley speaking that day in the paper, and it is also circled on his calendar, so she knows where Spargo wants to be tonight.
Right, and then she does that, and then we have
Agnes,
whose big job in life is to pick out a pram.
Well,
really, and she can't go to see them herself. She has to have Harrods bring a multiple choice of super fancy prams that they can put their crest on.
The way I'm looking at it is that Agnes is so she swung the pendulum a little too far and is like, I can't do anything because I don't want to suffer another miscarriage, which I understand.
I don't
want to overexert yourself, but at the same time, I mean, like, did you really need to do that? But, you know, I'm not going to fault her. She's trying to do it for her health. It's not just because she's being a diva about it.
But that might be
part of it.
But this, you know, she can't understand how Helm gets home from this meeting. He's clearly upset. She doesn't engage him at all. She's just demanding, like, tell me which pram you like better. I think, and she'd been arguing with Maude about which one was better. And it's like, this is the thing you care about? Seriously?
She doesn't have a really good perspective.
She is oblivious to other people, much in the way Percy's oblivious to other people. But Maude picks up on the fact that Hallam's upset, so she follows him into his office, study, whatever, and they have a drink. And they discuss this whole thing with the East African emperor and how upset Hallam is that he's unable to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Maude clearly thinks Agnes is stupid. Yeah. And that goes on, and it is a theme.
Rachel talks to Mr. Amanjeet after bringing his food, and she asks why he doesn't come down to eat sweets and listen to the wireless with them. I think they do it on Fridays or something.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
I'm a different guy?
I'm a different person.
There should be, I think, you know, all of those rigid structures are still kind of present in his mind.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like them. And so what he says to her.
No, what she says to him is, we are not forced to accept the things that grieve us.
Right. And so
that comes from a person who knows clearly.
And so the next thing that happens with him is a segue from that. But meanwhile,
Percy is going to the opera. Lava Wem, because she's a dramatic ass bitch. If you don't know, Lava Wem is what Rent is based off of. It's also what, like, part of Moulin Rouge is based off of.
It's, correct. It's a really good opera.
I'm not saying it's a bad opera. Awesome. Yeah. She's going to the opera and pokes Spargo about going to see Mosley that night, but he says, I have a private life, leave me alone. And I'm like, valid, even if quite. What you're doing is awful. Amanjeet joins the servants downstairs to listen to the wireless. He initially wasn't going to, like, he just brought his, like, dishes down to, like, be to clean them up, and Mr. Pritchard is just like, no, you're gonna sit with us. Right. Ivy move.
Yeah, he makes Ivy move, and Ivy sulking. Percy then shows up at the Oswald's the speech. She is looking amazingly gorgeous in this.
Okay, yeah, she looks fucking amazing, but she's still going to a Nazi rally.
Right, this is a full-on reverse Sybil from Downton Abbey. I mean, she is stalking the chauffeur at a political rally. I mean, it's almost like they just decided to flip it.
We discovered that this came out, like, slightly before.
It did, but I just...
It feels the same, though.
It does.
Yeah, I think Downton Abbey either looked at that or already had their plan in place. Looked at that and was like, we're going to do that, but better.
Yeah, so they listen to this speech, and it's clearly a turn-on for both of them. They're, like, practically touching because it's so crowded. Mm-hmm. And it's a turn-on for both of them. They both have joined the British Fascist Party.
They have a card and everything.
And Percy's like, I despise the rich. And what's happening in my life isn't freedom. If people give me stuff. And even at that point, Spargo's like, that's just... being lucky. That's not,
well, like, in the words,
it's not being chained down the same way.
In the words of the great Barbie Princess and the Pauper, yeah, every pet present comes with strings. And
you want some geodes?
A rock. Anyway, I do understand. If I didn't hate Percy so much, I could find this part, like, interesting, because it is an interesting thought experiment of, she does only, she's basically like a leech or a parasite. She only lives off of what people give her, and she's never going to hold a job. She's a lot like women back in the day.
Yeah, but she's not getting skills to get a job either.
Mother, I'm not denying that. I'm just saying what's true right now. She is a leech, and she's trying to get all the stuff from these people, but she is now beholden to them because of what she's been given by them.
Well, and because she has her skills.
And I can understand her, like, it was mentioned last episode, and I hate that I'm trying to give any dimension to this character, but
it's Clairefoy, so you want
it's Clairefoy, I really want to. But she clearly doesn't like being below her sister or feeling inferior to her sister, and clearly there's some rivalry there. Well, I guess we'll touch on it later, but it's not really touched on this season. It's implied, but she clearly doesn't want to feel in her debt to her sister.
But her sister has had opportunities and she's actually wanting to share them.
Yes, but she's not seeing it as a gift. She's seeing it as, oh,
you want to control me.
You want to control me.
Right.
And so she's trying to,
fucking child.
Because she's trying to, and so she's trying to fight back against that, which is leading her down to the Nazi stream.
Dear Lord.
Which is horrible, and I hate it. Anyway,
she comes in late. And
I wrote they hold hands. OMG, she's pregnant.
That would be true in the British era. She comes into the house. She sneaks into the house a little bit later. She's very happy. Rachel sees her and she's like, "Oh, you must have had a good night." It's like, "Yeah, it changed my life." Okay.
Ivy asks Rachel what she does on her days off, and she says she visits friends. Ivy wishes she was a mother or had a mother to have someone to sing to or sing to her. And Rachel sings in German to her about a ladybird.
She points out that the melody is by Brahms, and Mira has no idea.
She's like, we don't have them here. It's like, oh, shut up. They are still singing it the next day, so that might come back, maybe. Mm-hmm. So we see a montage of Agnes getting more more and more pregnant.
She can't fit in her clothes. Pregnancy.
Mr. Amanjeet is hanging out with Rachel as she works, and he wants her there to be fewer secrets, very subtle about it, and invites her to tea because she has an afternoon off, even though she always says she can't.
Right. So he has a good line here too. He's like, if we keep our secrets, we keep our dignity. You know, this is how people in these situations try to kind of keep their independence or their identity. But in talking to him, Rachel finally, and he also talks about, he brings back her line of, we don't have to live with the things that grieve us. But she finally admits that she has a secret, and she takes him to see that she has a child who is living.
A little girl,
whose name is Lada. And she's just beautiful.
Such a beautiful girl.
Oh my goodness.
And also,
would you like to see her play like Rebecca in An American Girl kind of thing?
No, for sure. She has like the nice frizzier hair, and that would work really beautiful. Well. She's gorgeous. But also, Rebecca is supposed to be Jewish. That's mm-hmm. perfect. Yeah. But yeah, she's supposed to be. She is Jewish. either way, it's kind of like an Edith from Downton Abbey, but kind of done better.
It is done better.
She's not stalking her child. Her child is fully aware of who she is. She has raised her child, but because she's working, she can't like have the child with her.
Well, right. So part of what happened when she applied for the job with Miss Buck, with Rose, is that she was told she couldn't have any ties. She couldn't, you know, like have any outside anything. Mm-hmm. And so she had to leave Germany and put her child somewhere so that she would be able to work. It's got a little Les Mis kind of thing, Fontaine mm-hmm. feels to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she also, she then asked Mr. Amanjeet, do you have a wife?
And he's like, I had a wife and son who both died, and now I'm alone.
And he says, just like you, and she's like, well, not quite.
Her husband is actually in prison. He's not dead. He's in prison for political crimes, and she writes to him sometimes, but she feels the distance physically and metaphorically.
Right, because, again, he's Jewish. He's in prison in Germany during this roll-up to World War II.
It's not looking good.
And this is one of those things that in this episode, it becomes very clear how Hallam's job in the Foreign Secretary's office informs his response to all of this, because it becomes something that is important in the household.
So Percy and Spargo are now an item. As we said before, there was a montage of like Agnes getting more and more pregnant. Time has passed for these people too, also, apparently, obviously. And so Percy and Spargo are now like official, like
secretly,
like they're like making out, they're having sex, all that stuff.
Yeah, and they're listening to Oswald speeches.
What I wrote down was Percy and Spargo are now an item and listen to Mosley for foreplay. Mr. Amanjeet. Well, you can tell that like they're getting.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not going crazy. Mr. Amanjeet now consistently eats downstairs with them because I saw that he had a place set. That was very sweet.
It's sweet.
Spargo comes in a fascist uniform.
And Rachel freaks the fuck out because she should.
Yeah, because he's going to march in a rally and everyone's upset. Rachel refuses to eat with him and is mad that Mrs. Thackeray let him stay at the table at all. But Mrs. Thackeray is just like, let's just ignore him. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going outside. I'm not dealing with this.
Right. And Rose Buck, Miss Buck, is because there's this whole discussion about who's in charge downstairs. Spargo seems to think, well, it's my freedom of speech. I can do whatever I want, which, again, we see echoes of this in Downton Abbey as well. I can do what I want. And it's Sir Hallam's house. And he doesn't know about this. He doesn't. But of course, if he did, and we know this now in retrospect, he wouldn't have allowed it.
No.
But Miss Buck rolls downstairs and she's like, look, I want you to put on some decent clothes and you can change and go to your thing after. And he refuses to do it. And everyone else is kind of like, let's just ignore him. And Miss Buck just kind of goes along. And so when Rachel flees outside, Miss Buck follows her. And she's like, let's just let it go. And Miss Thackeray has just reached an age where she doesn't want to fight about it. And Rachel points out, it's like, So you reach an age where things basically don't matter. You just let everything go, and these things are acceptable to you.
Mm-hmm.
And she has an excellent point. I think that unwillingness to fight for what you know is right is a real problem sometimes.
Yeah. So Percy calls Spargo and says Rachel also decides that she must oppose the march. Good yes. for her.
Yeah.
Percy calls Spargo and says she's going to the march too, but in secret. Rachel and Mr. Amanji go to oppose the rally together. The march is in full swing and there are more opposition than black shirts, which is great.
And Rachel's very encouraged by that. She's like, my child will grow up someplace that she doesn't have to be afraid.
Spargo and Percy join the fascists and a fight breaks out and a mob forms.
Yeah, Percy is obnoxious even early on with this, and Spargo is already getting
she takes the car keys.
Right. Spargo is already turned off by this behavior with her, but as the march goes on, they end up on opposite sides of the street. He's chanting, standing with these other people, but he sees and he's doing the Nazi salute. Holy shit. Mm. But he sees Oswald come through doing the see Kyle thing, and he suddenly realizes, like, wait a minute,
what am I doing? Is what I'm doing wrong? It's like, yes,
people
fuck you.
Don't like this.
How come people not like it? Anyway, people have brains, shit.
And then the rioting starts.
Hallam, meanwhile, this is kind of intercut. Hallam is helping Agnes knit clothes for the baby, like he's holding the wool so that she can like roll it up.
Mm-hmm.
And Hallam mentions that winding wool used to be his younger sister's favorite game before she died. Back to the rally.
I would point out in that conversation, Agnes talks about how she doesn't want to hear about it because she doesn't want to hear about babies dying because it scares her.
Which I get, but also it's his sister. Please mm-hmm. don't be impertinent. The fight has broken up. Mr. Amanjeet notices that children threw marbles under the horse's hooves in protest and says God is in the little things.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. Mm-hmm. And also,
Lucy. No, it wasn't Lucy. It was St. Teresa of whatever. Sorry.
Yeah, that wasn't St. Lucy.
Sorry.
But
she's French Saint. St. Teresa, I think.
Anyway, these marbles become significant mm-hmm. for a while. Percy hides in an empty shop to wrap her hand that has a cut on it.
Where?
Rachel starts painting on the shop's window in protest and sees Percy in uniform. She freaks out. Percy takes the car without Spargo. Very rude. And he's like close. He's like telling her wait. And then she just keeps going like an absolute dumbass and stupid person who doesn't even know how to drive.
Yeah.
Amanjeet brings Rachel inside, who is upset and having an asthma attack.
She's
like having a panic attack plus asthma attack. It's like a bad combination.
And all the other servants are out of the servants' hall. And so the bell starts ringing, and Sir Hallam comes downstairs. He's like, I need help. I need to go deal with this thing. I need someone to drive me.
Amanjeet leaves her to drive Percy back to the house with Hallam, who had to bail her out of jail. And she's like, well, at least in the minute, it's like, shut the fuck up, bitch.
You fucking
and he's like
wrong.
Ashamed of her, as he should be.
Correct.
And Hallam is upset with Spargo, who reported Percy to the police for stealing the car and said he took her to that part of town because, Spargo says he took her to that part of town because of the orders that she gave. And obviously, like, Hallam can see through bullshit, but he's not going to call him on it.
Right, but he also says, I had to follow orders just like you. I reported her because she doesn't have a license. And she took the car. I didn't know what the fuck she was going to do with it.
And you know what? That's actually valid.
It's valid.
Ivy runs downstairs. Mr. Amaji is now downstairs. He's kind of resting after he had to drive them. Ivy runs downstairs saying she needs help and they need to come to the bedroom. Amaji runs upstairs because he knows that Rachel's probably in there with her, steamer.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes upstairs and he finds Rachel dead because of an asthma attack.
And both he and Ivy are horrified.
Yeah. He's very upset. And so are we. That's awful. When I first watched that, I didn't realize it. I think I was like half paying attention to the episode. I got like the big parts, but I didn't like really pay attention. And so I thought she actually killed herself, which would have been way worse. But she wouldn't have done that to her child. Her beautiful, beautiful girl.
No. Well, especially after a day that was overall pretty good. I mean,
for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, Percy's terrible.
She wouldn't want to wait on Percy, though.
Right.
And I wouldn't blame her.
And that would be a stressful
But she wouldn't die. She wouldn't purposely kill herself for that. Anyway, nor should anybody. So people take care of her body the next day, and her daughter is there. Alan burns the fascist party card. You'll show him. And says he doesn't want that in the house. Percy stands firm on her beliefs, even though she liked Rachel. She's like, well, I liked her. So it's not like an every Jewish person thing. It's like, okay, please shut the fuck up.
Well, but here's what's really bad. Agnes tries to defend Percy. And like what she says, so Hallam is burning the card, and Percy's like, I can think whatever I want. You can't stop me. And Agnes basically is trying to stand up for Percy, like, because Maud jumps into, she piles on like, no, you don't get to think this way. And Percy's saying, you don't get to tell me what to think. And Agnes is like, yeah, you don't get to tell her what to think. It's like, oh, fuck all of y'all.
I was hoping that she was like, well, you can't tell her what to think, but you shouldn't think this way I didn't catch that line. I'm sorry. I'm trying to defend Agnes. I shouldn't defend
you shouldn't.
Her. I
because
shouldn't
she's
defend
still
her
fairly stuff. Terrible in this season.
She is. In my opinion, she improves, but I think it's just because people around her like decline. So is she really improving, or is everyone else just shit?
that's a scary thought.
That's the question. Anyway, yeah, she's not great.
No.
I do not defend any of like the opinions held by Percy or Agnes in the situation. Is awful. The way she handles this sucks, but she does. Her perspective does eventually change.
Right. But in the meantime,
the daughter is an orphan now and holds out the marbles to Hallam.
Right. So she happens to be in the servants' hall because they had the funeral from the house. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, an Orthodox Jewish thing where you have to bury people very quickly. And so she is brought, Lotta is brought to the house for this funeral service. And Amanjit and Mira want her to stay. Because they want to take care of her and be her family, and they loved Rachel and so on and so forth. And little girl is just adorable, and she pulls the marbles out of Mr. Amanjit's pocket and hands them to Hallam.
And they're very like, significant, obviously.
Well, he doesn't fully get it, but
we know what it means.
We know what it means, but he sees it as the gift that it is.
Yeah.
At this point, Lana's not speaking, by the way.
Also, Agnes suggests to send her back to her family in Germany. No.
Yeah, and that's what Helen says. No. Like, I'm not fucking doing that. No.
And there's a conversation later. Hallam says they will look after her for as long as necessary to start making amends for their sins. Not Hallam's sins, necessarily. He does feel guilty.
Percy's.
Who doesn't give a shit about any of this and is not participating at all. Fuck you. Hallam is upset that Agnes didn't understand the implications of sending a Jewish girl back to Germany during Nazi Germany.
In all accounts, I hate Agnes.
I hate her in this season.
She is almost as dumb as Percy with this.
It's kind of like this. Yeah, at this point, I need to stop like thinking of Agnes as a whole person, and like throughout the entire seasons,
right.
Considering all of that.
She
and
has
just
growth,
her,
but not yet.
Yes. But just think of her in this season. And this season, she is very selfish. She is very narrow-minded. She's not thinking of all the implications of any of that. I do sympathize with her infertility and with her all that stuff. Like, that's awful.
But she's looking for reasons to not take care of this child. And you have plenty. You can take care of one extra kid. It's just not going to hurt you.
Like, you don't even have one yet. So you might as well take care of another. It's not that hard. You have a lot of rooms.
Meanwhile,
anyway,
Percy and Spargo are having sex. Still, are you fucking kidding me? Literally.
They now believe they need to keep their beliefs more of a secret in the house. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ivy now wears Rachel's nightgown. And shares a bed with the daughter and sings her to sleep in German, the same song they were singing before, as Hallam plays with the significant marbles. And that's the end of the episode.
What were your best parts?
Hallam.
Yeah, Hallam's great.
I love Hallam. I like that he
he's good looking too. It doesn't.
Oh, he's so hot. but that's besides the point. We love him as a character now,
right?
And anyway, so he is such a morally upright person now, and talking about this season, he is extremely, he has very strong morals, he has a very good sense of right and wrong, he feels guilty for not being able to help like a foreign power.
He's very focused in this this first season, which makes it a little bit easier. I will say this, and I'm just going to add it because I might forget for the next episode. You see him next to the Duke of Kent, and as actors, they look very similar.
Yeah.
But the Duke of Kent has a more feminine appearance, whereas Hallam looks like a guy. So,
why was that relevant?
Just because I know I was going to forget to say it, and I think that kind of almost, you can see Hallam getting in a fight where you can't see the Duke of Kent getting in.
But
a fight.
Why would they meet?
War's coming. Winter okay. is coming, little girl.
All right. Anyway, Hallam's great. I like that he's immediately, when they find out that she has no, like, other living relatives in England, he's immediately like, you're staying with us for as long as necessary. Agnes and Hallam, specifically them together, really cute when they are pregnant and all that stuff. It's very sweet. That part. Let's see, Rachel and Mr. Amanjeet. I will just say this now, and I haven't watched season two in a minute, but I think this is my favorite arc, and it only happens in one episode. because I really love Rachel's whole arc.
Her influence on the household is huge.
Yes, her impact is huge. And she, her tale of tragedy, and it's like, it's taking a few tropes of like, well, I used to like riches to rags and all that stuff, but it takes on an entirely new connotation when you add the like time period and who she is. And it's very sad. It's just, it's a tragedy. And and it's not like somebody killed her in the mob. It was a horrible asthma attack caused by distress about seeing Percy, but it wasn't like direct, you know. Although makes it even
Percy
sadder.
Does turn everything to shit, so I'll blame it on Percy. I'm good with that.
And Mr. Her relationship with Mr. Amanjeet is very sweet. I wouldn't say it's completely romantic. I think Mr. Amanjeet wanted it to be, but I think that their just understanding is very sweet. That like neither one of them isn't completely free, but they both understand what it's like to be marginalized, and for different reasons, obviously. But
they're both intelligent, well-educated people who are foreigners. They have a lot more similarity than difference. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Same, that's what I said.
All right. So Mr. Amanjeet, of course, is always a favorite. If I don't say it out loud, I mean it. Hallam is great in this episode. Rachel is phenomenal in this episode. Pritchard, I like because he's kind of trying to do some of the right things, like, hey, Spargo, don't sit here in your stupid outfit. Yeah. But he doesn't have the authority to really say it, which is kind of weird because after the Carson Mrs. Hughes thing, you would think that because Carson kind of ran the downstairs at Downton Abbey, and I guess Pritchard doesn't have that.
Maybe just because they're so close and personal. Like, I feel like, and I noticed this in just in the fact that they even like sit around the wireless and just listen to it and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I noticed that it's a lot more informal there than it is at Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I would
not agree. That the people at Downton Abbey don't like have. Are nice and like personable and all that stuff, but there is a more rigid structure for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And again, it's an earlier time period, so that might be part of it too.
Yeah.
So, and also Maud is a question mark for me. So she is a good part in the sense that she's calling down Percy, which is desperately needed. And Hallam, of course, does, but Hallam just seems to get ignored about that over and over and over again. It's like, oh, you're not a girl, you don't understand. So in some ways, I think he has stepped out of the upbringing, I guess you could call it, of Percy. It's not his sister directly. He's not a girl, and he doesn't have to do all the stupid girly things that are so much a part of being a debutante, which is what Percy is. And yes, Agnes knows more about that, and Maud knows way more about the rules. So he's kind of letting them run it, but he has these very strong opinions. And so it's, he just, I don't know. So Maud is doing what she should be doing in those circumstances, but Agnes is fighting her. What were your worst ones?
Percy and Spargo in all caps.
Yeah, Percy, Spargo.
I have not Agnes. Finished.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ivy having no tact when being like, you're a widow, right? That means your husband's dead. It's like, imagine if her husband was dead. And he might be, we don't know. But that's crazy. And Agnes being dumb about the daughter, especially about the daughter. Like, she also kind of ignores her husband's feelings
a in lot. That.
But I think the biggest fault that she has in this episode is being dumb about the daughter and being like, let's send the Jewish girl back. No.
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 No, absolutely not. You don't get the sense that they've had a thorough conversation about what's going on in Germany, but Hal clearly knows, and he acts like they have. Mm-hmm. So, if you know what's actually going on in Germany, you would never, ever say that. Never.
Yeah.
Never. But yeah, so did you have any other bad parts?
Mm-hmm.
All right, those were all Percy, Agnes, Spargo. Maud is a bad part for me in the whole, I'm going to take your tiara and go and
do my mouth
lashes. Like, come on. But she
her
is.
Her power trip.
Yeah, it's a 50-50 with her. It's really hard to say. What grade did you give this?
I don't know. I think it's either a B plus or a minus, and I don't know which.
I gave it a B plus, and it's hard because
I'd say
it's one of the best episodes of this series.
I'd say it's an A minus for me, just because.
Okay. I'm going B plus.
I think it's an A minus for me because of the Rachel arc. I think that really carries it for me. It leaves a lasting impact on the show, and I think this is as good as it's going to get.
I honestly think the next episode is a little bit better.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking they're about on the same playing field for me. Maybe the other one's a bit better, but so maybe I will say a B plus for this one. Spoiler alert.
Well, guess what? We are about to, and we're going to record for the next episode. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.